Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. We are on day two of our travel article, The Extra Dimension, Israel. My name is Brandon Bryant, and I am with Lois Fisk, and we have a special guest in the studio, Anna Chin. Welcome back, panelists.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Brandon.
Glad that you came back today. And, of course, Anna, you have been to Israel many, many times, and that's what you've been sharing with us. Yesterday, we talked about Tel Aviv, and we also just looked at a market there, and we talked about the beach. Sounds like there's lots to do there, Anna.
Yes, in Israel, in Tel Aviv. That in Tel Aviv, you see the, when we talk about the beach, because that's a beach facing the Mediterranean Sea, that you can see the beautiful, stunning sunsets over there.
Wow. And we see a picture on page 13 of Tel Aviv Beach there at the top, and it does look beautiful, doesn't it, Lois?
Oh, and those sunsets, I'm dreaming of them already, Anna.
Yes, I know.
You know, some people dream of a white Christmas. I think right now in May, I'm dreaming of a white sun, white beach and sunset at night.
That's right. Sounds wonderful. And actually, listeners, as I look at this article, as I read this article, it really makes me want to go to Israel. And Anna, you've been there many, many times. Would you like to share just another experience with us, maybe in Tel Aviv or another part of Israel, just to give our listeners an extra taste of what this country is about?
Oh, because when we said about Tel Aviv over there, I found something very, very special, because it's during Shabbat. Shabbat is there in the seventh day, that where they will rest for one whole day. That's from the sunset until the next day, from the evening of Friday until Saturday, that they call the Shabbat.
So their holy day.
Right, that's right. And they all rest. They enjoy the time with their family together. And usually I found nothing on the street. Where are those people? Where are they? Where are the families? And then I found out one day, they are all, many of them were gathering, packed alongside the Yakom River. It's a beautiful river over there. And alongside the Yakom River, the Yakom River flows to the sea. And you can see also a lot of restaurants over there.
Okay, so this is in Tel Aviv, right?
That's right.
Mm. Okay. So they were all there on their, like, day of rest, just
enjoying themselves. Picnic. They go picnicking over there. They go biking over there, go canoeing over there.
Canoeing, I'd be doing that. That's what I like to do.
Well, I feel rested just listening to that. So as we learned yesterday, there are different things you can do in Tel Aviv. And today, though, we're actually talking about Jerusalem, and this is the place that many people think of when they think of Israel, right, Lois?
Right. It's the number one city I would think of, and I would think most of the world would.
Okay.
Tel Aviv, we think of more maybe as business or the airport or whatever, and Jerusalem right away, I think of history, and I also think of my Christian faith.
Okay, and as you mentioned that, a lot of Christians, they do travel to Jerusalem. Why is that, Anna?
We know that Jerusalem is an ancient city full of history, and wherever you go, and even maybe just right underneath of your feet, that you will find out it's an archaeological site. So don't dig anything. Don't.
Yeah.
Yes. Just be careful. Maybe that where you stand underneath is thousands of years of history.
That's
underneath, right.
And many Christians do go there because this is the place where Jesus walked the earth. And so they want to see places, cities, sites that they read about in the Bible.
Right. It's a pilgrimage for many Christians.
That's right. And of course, around Jerusalem, and that area is where Jesus was crucified, and they had his grave there. Of course, he came back to life shortly after that. But Christians want to go there, and it brings the stories that they've read, it brings them to life. And so many people go there to visit Israel, especially Jerusalem. And so that's our focus here at the beginning of day two. We are on page 13. If you have your magazines there, please open them to page 13, and we will have our first reading for today.
Jerusalem. As brilliant as Tel Aviv is, a trip to Israel is not complete without a side trip to Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. Jerusalem is filled with thousands of years of history. When you visit, you can take your pick of museums. But the Israel Museum is a popular choice for many people. The museum was founded in 1965 and includes items from prehistory up to present day. Right now, the museum boasts close to 500,000 objects. If museums aren't your thing, take a stroll through the Jerusalem Forest and Jerusalem Mountains surrounding the city. Or check out some of the cultural activities that are on offer in the city year-round. Jerusalem has something for everyone.
Okay, so we talked about Tel Aviv yesterday, and we have a word here that describes it as brilliant. That means it's a beautiful place, it's a great place to go. But now we're moving on to Jerusalem, and we see the phrase side trip here. For many, it's their main trip, right?
That's
they would
right.
go to Jerusalem.
That's right, and I think why we see the word side trip here, Brandon, is because they're thinking that the people, the visitors, the tourists, have landed in Tel Aviv. Okay, so they have to make a side trip. We're not trying to make it sound like Jerusalem isn't important. Of course it's important.
Right, and maybe for some people, Tel Aviv is the main place they want to go, so it would be considered a side trip, so we have that phrase there. But anyway, whether it's a side trip or it's the main trip, it's a great place to visit, of course. And we will talk later about the Dead Sea as well. Well, we see that Jerusalem is filled with thousands of years of history. Thousands, Lois.
Yes, this is the ancient part of the world, Brandon. We think of the Middle East as ancient, and of course, North Africa as well. And here we also see that we can have chronicled the history of this part of the world. So that's so exciting. I want to go to this Israel Museum right away.
I know, and we see that when you visit, you can take your pick of museums, meaning that there are many museums to visit. And Anna, have you been to some of the museums there in Jerusalem?
Yes, I have been there. There's several museums. This one, Israel Museum, is the most fabulous one.
Why?
Inside you can see there are ancient history, there are modern artworks over there, so. And it's a huge ground that you can see so many exhibitions.
Okay.
And even some of the exhibitions from Asia, from our part of history, they also have some collections
okay.
over there.
Okay, that's really
right.
interesting.
Wow, so from Northeast Asia and Southeast Asia.
Right.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting, that
I
museum.
I wouldn't expect that. That's great. Well, we see that the Israel Museum is a popular choice for many. And it was actually founded in 1965. And what does it include, Lois?
It says it includes items from prehistory up to present day. Now, some of our listeners might not be familiar with prehistory, what that actually means, Brandon. And it is the period of human history before there were written records or events. So we're talking ancient history here.
Really old stuff.
Right. And we'll often find in maybe North America, we can't always see this. So an exhibit will come to our part of the world, mm-hmm. or maybe we can see it in Asia, of course. But I have been able to experience an exhibit coming from this part of the world when I visited Toronto one time. And that was the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, wow.
And that was so exciting for me. I lined up forever to see them because I didn't know if I'd ever get to Israel. And I thought, you know, they're probably just coming to Canada once.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Anna, have you seen the Dead Sea Scrolls? First of all, what are the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Okay, they found this scroll in Qumran. That's a place we would consider the Negev area.
Mm-hmm.
Qumran in the south, very close to the desert area. It was found by a shepherd boy when mm-hmm. he went into the field, and then he threw a stone inside it and then found out, there's the sound of the pottery, and then
oh.
right, and then they found out later on. They found out there were scrolls the ancient scrolls of the Bible, verses, scriptures inside.
Right, of the Old Testament part of the
right,
Bible.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
Amazing.
And it's interesting, it happened in the later half of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put a date right on it right now because I'm not quite sure. I think it might have been in the 1960s. So it is quite the worldwide event when it happened.
Okay, that's right. Yes, we all heard about that. Well, it also says here that this museum, the Israel Museum, boasts close to 500,000 objects. And boast there means what, Lois?
Well, it means they might be bragging a bit, but they're very happy to tell the world this is what we have in our museum.
Yes. I think here in this case, it's more of a positive usage.
Exactly.
A lot of times we say, don't be so boastful, meaning don't brag about yourself, right? But here they're just telling everyone, like you said, Lois.
You know, I don't believe I've ever been in a museum that has this many objects.
That's right. That's a lot, 500,000. Well, if museums aren't your thing, take a stroll through the Jerusalem forest. Now, this sounds like my thing. I love trees. I like to walk in parks. And I grew up in an area where I was surrounded by trees. So the Jerusalem forest sounds fantastic. Anna, have you been to the Jerusalem forest?
Yes, I have been there.
Okay, what was it like?
You cannot imagine how beautiful that is over there.
Mm-hmm.
There's all green hills, but in the past, in fact, it was rehabilitated by the Jewish National Foundation, there's another Israel National Foundation,
mm-hmm.
that they rehabilitate the land. They plant trees over there.
Very good.
Right, so you see this forest. And in that forest over there, you will see a museum, another museum very special. That's Yad Vashem.
Okay.
Yad Vashem, that means the Holocaust Museum.
Oh.
Right.
Wow.
And
good.
So whenever you go to Jerusalem, you must pay a visit over there.
Okay.
Right.
Wow. There's
it's beautiful. And also in that forest, close to the area, there's another place very beautiful. It's called En Karen.
And what is that?
And Karen, that's the hometown of the John the Baptist.
Okay, which
right?
is mentioned in the Bible as well.
Right, that's
okay.
right. And right now a lot of artists live over there,
mm-hmm.
and you see a lot of the art studio over there. It's very quiet because
mm-hmm.
Jerusalem, there are so many tourists, people are visiting because there's so many places to see. But in Karen, that's a quiet countryside.
Wow.
Just right next to this big city. And you can really stroll on the street and to see the artwork.
Okay. That sounds fantastic. Wow, that's like a whole other article we could write, I think, about just that area and the Jerusalem forest. It sounds wonderful. Well, we also see that you can check out some cultural activities that are on offer or available in the city all year. So Jerusalem has something for everyone.
Right, and we don't want to forget to mention the Jerusalem Mountains that surround
right.
the city, so a lot of people would like to do hiking there.
That's true. The beauty, I'm sure, is just magnificent. Well, we also want to visit the Dead Sea. I'm really excited about this one because this sea, it intrigues me, and I hope you find it interesting as well, listeners. Let's find out more about the Dead Sea in our next reading for today.
Visiting the Dead Sea. A trip to the Dead Sea is a must. The Dead Sea has the lowest elevation on Earth, sitting at about 400 meters below sea level. It's also the most salty body of water on the planet, meaning that when you visit, you don't swim, you float. Many visitors enjoy taking a picture of themselves floating in the sea and reading a newspaper at the same time. Did you know the springs surrounding the Dead Sea have numerous health benefits? Visitors often smear themselves with the mud from the seashore. The minerals in the mud can benefit your skin.
Okay, so now we are visiting the Dead Sea, and it says here a trip to the Dead Sea is also a must. That means you must do it, and I agree with that statement because I look at this picture at the bottom of this photo at the bottom of page 13, and that just looks like a lot of fun, Lois.
Oh, it sure does to me, and you know, the Dead Sea isn't what it sounds like. It sounds like, oh my goodness, if you go in the Dead Sea, you'll be dead. No, you won't, listeners.
Well, it's called the Dead Sea, and actually, it has no outlet. And
right.
So, you know, it has this body of water is there, and that's why it is so salty, right?
Right. Yeah? That's so right. Yes, because it's salty so that you can float very easily. So, in fact, when you float inside over there, you can be very much alive because that water will hold you up. You will not be drowned.
Yes, because of the salt, that's
right.
Why you're able to float so well.
Right, that's right.
You say you're buoyant.
Yes.
In this type of water, you are floating like a float that's maybe on the side of a boat that cannot sink.
That's right.
And I found out that actually the Dead Sea is maybe 6 to 8 times saltier than the ocean.
Wow.
So that's an interesting little fact there. And of course, you know, the ocean is quite salty. But I'm sure, Anna, you've experienced this. Did you get a little taste of the water? Was it extremely salty?
It's salty. It's bitter.
Uh-huh. Bitter.
Right, right. Right. But it's so beautiful over there. You can see the crystal, the beautiful reflection from the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's so clear. Wow.
Mm. Right.
Sounds great. Right.
I know. I forgot that it was 400 meters below sea level. I had forgotten that.
That's right. It is 400 meters below sea level. We're talking about the elevation there. And talking about elevation, we're talking about height. And maybe, you know, of course, as it relates to the sea, we usually think of the height above the level of the sea. But here, this is actually below sea level. And so that gives you an idea of something about this particular body of water. And as we see next there in line 5, it's also the most salty body of water on the planet, which I said earlier that it's 6 to 8 times saltier than the ocean. So that's why you're able to float. And you can even read. Maybe take a book or a newspaper, right, as you're floating in the water. That sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it, Lois?
Oh, it does. I like how the person in our picture at the bottom of page 13, in the distance, the person just looks like, wow, they got their head up and everything. It's not like how I float in a lake. She really is buoyant.
That's right. Okay, well, many visitors enjoy taking a picture of themselves, and as they're reading a newspaper, as I just mentioned, you can do that as you float there in the Dead Sea. Well, did you know the springs surrounding the Dead Sea have numerous health benefits? Did you know that, Lois?
Well, I kind of did know that because when my husband visited Tel Aviv one time, he bought products from the Dead Sea, and I found out all these benefits I could have from these products from the Dead Sea. And so, you know, they have a little bit of that Dead Sea that's going to benefit you
the
in the products.
Right?
The minerals.
Mm-hmm.
The minerals.
Well,
yeah.
Anna, you've been to the Dead Sea. I want to know, did you smear some mud on your face?
Yes. All over, in fact. You must enjoy that. Right. And it's really very good for your skin. And, right, so a lot of people went over there to have this... In fact, it's a treatment. Even people from some elder people, they will go over there and apply the mud and to have this treatment.
Right, and I think, right. You know, we talk about the minerals here in this Dead Sea mud. I think there's, of course, like sodium, there's all that salt
right,
in the water,
of course.
And also maybe magnesium and phosphates and so forth. And so that is really good for your skin.
That's right.
Right. I found that the products for your skin to bathe in, as I did, or to put on my like face and neck, I felt a difference after I either got out of the bath or after I removed it from my face.
And just one time.
Just one time, okay. I felt. You know, I used it more than that, but I did feel a difference.
Okay. So if you visit the Dead Sea, smear some mud on your face and see if you notice the difference. We see the minerals in the mud. Of course, they can benefit your skin. Well, there are other places of interest. Let's find out about those in our last reading for today.
Other places of interest. Besides the health benefits, travelers come to this region for other reasons too. The scenery. From the Dead Sea, visitors can take a cable car up to the top of Masada. This is the notable site of Herod's mountaintop palace that was used in a revolt against the Romans. After Masada, you can take a trip to the Ein Gedi Nature Reserve. The dazzling natural beauty there is truly a sight to behold. It's also one of the country's premier hiking locations.
Okay, so we talked about the health benefits, but also we're going to talk about more. It says travelers come to the region for other reasons too, and that, of course, is what? The scenery.
Yep, look at that view.
That's no surprise, right? We want to look at the beauty there in Jerusalem and in Israel as a whole. Well, what do we learn in our next sentence, Lois?
It says, from the Dead Sea, visitors can take a cable car up to the top of Masada. And it says, this is a notable site of Herod, which was King Herod, mountaintop palace that was used in a revolt against the Romans. And I see we have a word here that we don't always see, notable, Brandon.
Right. Notable meaning that it's important, so you need to take notice. And they're talking about the site of Herod's mountaintop palace. And Herod here, he was called Herod the Great, and he was king of Judea. This was back in Bible times, actually. So this is an important place that people might want to visit. And it was this palace there, this mountaintop palace, it was used in a revolt against the Romans. And a revolt is a situation in which people try to change a government, right, Lois?
Right. Revolution.
That's right. And so this is a bit different from some of the other places that we've talked about. Anna, have you actually been to Masada?
Yes, I have been to there.
What was your experience like there?
You can see the panoramic view of the whole area, the Dead Sea area. And if you go very, very early, that you can see the sunrise. We just mentioned about, we mentioned about sunset in Tel Aviv, but here you can see the sunrise.
Oh.
Right.
From sunrise to sunset, there's beauty.
Well, and who doesn't like that panoramic view, as Anna mentioned? I know when I go somewhere and if it boasts great sunrises, I make sure my very last day I get up to see it.
Okay, because can you explain that? That's a big word, actually, panoramic. Can
well, panoramic means you're going to see at least 180 degrees of a view, but if you keep moving around, spinning yourself or turning yourself around, you'll actually get a 360-degree view.
So panoramic is describing that 360-degree view, right?
That's
okay,
correct.
Very good. And that's a lot of times these days with our smartphones, you can take those kinds of pictures, right?
That's
a lot of fun. Okay, so we see this is a notable site there, the mountaintop palace on Masada. And after Masada, you can even take a trip to another place. It's a nature reserve. And what's the name of that nature reserve?
It's called Ein Gedi.
Okay, and you've been there as well?
Right, that's where the King David hid himself a long time ago.
Okay,
in Ein Gedi.
King David from the Bible as well.
Right,
okay.
Away from King Saul at that time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Chased by him.
Okay, right. Describe the scenery there. We're talking about the scenery here in this section. What was the beauty like there?
So we just moved from this, you can see the desert area, but right here in Ein Gedi, it's like an oasis.
Oh,
oasis,
yeah.
That you can see there are many different animals inside. People, the animals are hiding and find their hideouts over there. You can see ibex. You can see all different, there are so many. You can also see the it's like the Grand Canyon view inside of you. And there's the stream, and you can walk, and then you can climb, and then you see there are waterfalls along the way. There are several waterfalls. 2-3, I remember.
Oh, wow.
2-3 waterfalls.
Okay. So you can do some hiking.
Right.
Yay!
Hiking.
So you said it's like an oasis, right?
Right.
You think of a desert, if you see an oasis, it's water, right? It's
right.
Like, oh, you're so thirsty, you need some water, there's an oasis.
And you often think of an oasis also has a place for you to grab some shade.
Mm-hmm.
You might have the shade of some trees.
Yeah. That's right. Definitely. And also, there's a health spa there, right?
Very close to Engedi. Mm-hmm. Over there, there's also some hotel.
Okay.
Or there's one Engedi and kibbutz over there.
Okay.
Right.
Very nice. Okay, so sounds like another great place to visit. And of course, a nature reserve means that it's a place where animals are protected. And so they are protected in this area. And that's, you might see that in a lot of places, a nature reserve. Yeah.
And oftentimes you want to go to a nature reserve because you get to see animals that maybe you don't usually see in their own habitat. And that's very exciting.
Yeah.
And very educational.
Okay.
That the Engedi kibbutz that I mentioned, they have a very special thing over there. They have the botanical garden inside.
Ooh.
So that's something special when you can see in a desert area.
Right. Mm. And we have some words here to describe the natural beauty. We see the word dazzling, meaning that it causes you to admire it. It's just so beautiful. You admire it. You admire the beauty. And it's truly a sight to behold.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. A sight to behold. We think of to see or look at. It's almost like it's glorious.
All right, and kind of, when I think of beholding something, you kind of take it in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's also one of the country's premier hiking locations. Premier, Lois.
Premier, and premier means that best or most important.
Okay, so it's the best or most important hiking location.
Right, so people who are into hiking probably know about this before they go on a trip because this would be on one of their to-do lists for their trip to Israel.
Yeah, and maybe in this case I wouldn't say so much the most important hiking location, but the best,
yeah.
I think, is really the idea we're trying to get across here. Well, we are out of time, believe it or not, for today, but we have more tomorrow, and tomorrow is a topic I love, food. And so we hope that you're hungry and that you come back tomorrow and that we kind of fill your plate with lots of good ideas. So join us tomorrow. Thanks.